What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
On 106 to 108 FM and Newstalk.com, this is Newstalk.
There are 48 people and one story on the front of all of the papers this morning. Of course, the Stardust inquest verdict yesterday. The Irish Daily Star goes with the headline, after a 43-year fight for justice, Stardust families finally get the truth. A photograph of families and supporters of the Stardust victims after getting the unlawful killing verdict in the inquest, and also a picture of a man standing at the memorial on the site of the former nightclub in Artane, and some flowers being left at that site yesterday. The Irish Examiner is a photograph of all 48 killed, unlawfully killed, is its very simple headline there, and also tells us the news that the former manager of the Stardust nightclub made a High Court application to bring judicial proceedings challenging the coroner's decision to allow the jury to return an unlawful killing verdict. It can now be revealed. The Irish Sun, again, is a photograph of all 48 on the front page, finally at peace. The families of the Stardust dead wept after justice was finally done yesterday, telling the 48 victims, "You're coming back to us home." The Irish Daily Mirror, "Thank God we won," has a photograph of Antoinette Keegan with her hands praying, looking up to God. And the headline there, "Thank God we won. Fire likely caused by an electrical fault. Doors were locked, trapping blaze victims." The Herald, a 43-year wait for the truth, and it also shows the front page of its paper way back in 1981 of the inside of the Stardust nightclub, and the headline back then was "Cabaret Holocaust." The Irish Daily Mail, "Stardust inquest verdict. Now we want a public apology. The families of 48 young people killed when a fire ripped through the Stardust have said they can finally bring them home out of the flames, the darkness and the smoke. And bringing you back to the sunshine," was how the families reacted to the news. The Irish Independent, "Justice at last. Gardaí to review report at highest level after unlawful killings verdicts." And the picture is all 48 who died in the Stardust along with their names. And the Irish Times on the front page, "This verdict vindicates and exonerates those families. Taoiseach asks Minister for Justice and Attorney General to consider the inquest findings. President leads tributes to the families of victims for their endurance and tenacity." And also on the front of the Irish Times, they look at what happens next, and they say that the prospect of a fresh Garda investigation into the Stardust fire has significantly increased following the inquest verdicts. If a new criminal inquiry commenced, it would be the largest multiple homicide investigation in the modern era, and Gardaí are now going to assess the report drawn up by the coroner. The Irish Times understands this assessment would determine whether offences were disclosed in the report and whether a fresh criminal investigation was required. As you can imagine, there are pages and pages and pages of coverage of yesterday's verdict in the papers today, and I mean that, 8-9 pages in some of the papers. We'll move on to other stories now. Of course, we'll have more on Newstalk Breakfast this morning and throughout the day on that verdict, including hearing from Lisa Lawler, a woman who was orphaned by the Stardust fire. She'll be on Newstalk Breakfast this morning. Elsewhere then, the Irish Times tells us, we don't normally hear about this, that we could have a fall in the number of students in school and an oversupply of teachers. But the Irish Times says that the number of children attending primary school is projected to drop by 100,000. That's almost a fifth over the next decade. It's changing demographics in Ireland. And the falling number, according to the paper, raises the prospect of an oversupply. You never hear of this, an oversupply of teachers at primary level in the coming years, which actually means that some teachers will be able to do their jobs properly without having packed classrooms. So we could see smaller classroom sizes and lower pupil-teacher ratios. So it's not that we'll have too many teachers, we might just have enough teachers, the classrooms won't be packed, and maybe SNAs will get to spend the proper amount of time, and the assistants will get to spend the proper amount of time with the students they work with. The average classroom size in Ireland is 23 students for one teacher, and the EU average is about 20 per class. And about 1 in 7 are learning in so-called supersized classrooms of more than 30 pupils. Amazing, this is still going on. When I was in school, some of us had to stand because there weren't enough seats in the classroom. I thought that had changed, but there's these supersized classrooms still going on. Anyway, the number of children going to primary school looks like it could be falling. Not falling are petrol prices. The Irish Independent says fears are being raised that the price of petrol and diesel is going back to €2 a litre. Remember, this was a big story a while ago. Then the prices dropped. But the latest fuel price survey from AA Ireland shows that this month's increase in the cost of fuel at the pumps was the highest this year. I actually noticed one petrol station on my drive in this morning went up 5 cents overnight. Diesel prices rose by 13 cent and petrol by 9 cent, according to the latest AA Ireland monthly fuel increase report. And this is being blamed on higher crude prices and a hike in excise duty as well at the start of the month. Big interview in the Irish Daily Star with Andrew McGinley. Of course, you'll know Andrew McGinley as the father of three children killed by their mother. And he's revealed in the Star that he's been in a relationship with another woman for the past 2 years. Andrew's children, Connor, Dara and Carla, were killed by their mother, Deirdre Morley, as I'm sure you all remember, at their home in Newcastle in Dublin back in January 2020. Morley was found not guilty by reason of insanity. Andrew McGinley, yesterday, confirming to the Star he's in a new relationship. He's a partner he's been seeing for the past 2 years, but he says, that's my private life and that's all I want to say about it. And he's doing a charity walk from Mullingar to Maynooth tomorrow to raise money. He's already raised €35,000 for his charity called As Dara Did. The Star, staying with that paper, tells us about how wealthy Irish actors are. Of course, a lot of Irish actors struggling to make a living. And then on the other end of the scale, we've millionaires. And the highest grossing Irish actor of all time has been revealed in a list of the greatest stage stars. Top of the pile, having made a jaw-dropping €10 billion at the box office. Now, not for himself personally, but this is how much he's raking in at the box office, is Liam Neeson. He's miles ahead of second place Michael Gambon, who pulled in €8.4 billion. Donald Gleeson comes in third with €8.2 billion. And Kerry Condon is the highest grossing female actor at €8.14 billion. Liam Neeson comes out on top in this poll, which used IMDb to compile the global gross box office figures for each movie that the actors have appeared in. And of course, Liam Neeson has been in an awful lot of them. And staying with acting, just a reminder, Stephen Ray will be on News Talk Breakfast this morning because he's receiving an IFTA this weekend. Final story comes from the Times of London. And if you're planning your breakfast this morning, will you be having a fry? Well, it looks like the days of the fry are numbered because it has been known as the breakfast of kings, according to the Times, and one of the more reliable hangover cures. But young people are falling out of love with the fry. A survey of people aged 18 to 34 has revealed that a quarter barely ever eat a full fry for breakfast, and 1 in 10 never do. Almost 4 in 10 think it's too fatty or greasy to eat regularly, while the same proportion worry about the calories, and a third think it takes too long to prepare. I have to say, a fry would be my favourite meal, particularly in a hotel. Love a hotel breakfast, but apparently young people are going for avocado on toast and scrambled eggs and things like that. Poached eggs, I should say, not the big fry. And they talk about the full English in this article, but I'm sure it's the same for the full Irish as well. And obviously you have to have your cup of tea and your hash brown with the fry too, but young people dislike the fry, we are told. They find that it's outdated, and a third think its popularity is at an all-time low. So sad news there for the full fry. Now, those are the stories making the headlines.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.